Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you may be listening, thank you for making us a part of your day. As a reminder, you can catch replays of our show if you missed the shows here on the weekends. You can catch that show on Apple Play, or I guess it's iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit investingsimplifiedradio.com. As a reminder, if there is a question that's been keeping you up at night about your finances, about your investing, about your estate planning or your tax planning, or if it's for Steve Anderson with the property tax group that, you know, goes to bat for you, if it's about PERS, anything with a dollar sign in your life, whether or not Matt and I can answer it, we will get the answers for you, which is a good segue into with me in studio is Matt May.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. The chief investment advisor here at our chief investment officer, I should say. You're also the chief investment advisor. I don't know, you're just a chief.
Ciao, mate. The CIO.
just the chief here at Price Financial Group. And we're happy that you're with us today. As Matt, we finished out a week of volatility this week as we approach the election here.
Absolutely. It's been more volatile than what we've seen over the last 4 months or so.
Kind of funny to say that, you know, we're getting used to this so much because it's the most volatility we've seen in the market in four months.
That said, I mean, it's still not an easy week. It definitely showed us that the markets won't go straight up in a V-shaped recovery, that there is risk out there. And, you know, just to be careful of how you're allocated in your portfolio, how much risk you're actually taking within the portfolio. It really truly matters.
Right. Well, that's a big thing, right? How much risk you are taking, because listeners have heard me talk about this ad nauseum over the years, but the one thing that we can control, right, in terms of our investment future, in terms of our money, is how much risk we take. We can't control what the market does. We can't control, other than casting our vote, who's elected. We can't control what happens to taxes, what happens to valuations in the market, any of that stuff, but we can control how much risk we're exposing ourselves to, right?
Absolutely. And it is something that needs to be continually monitored, especially with the velocity or the speed of which money is moving right now, both up and down. So obviously earlier this year, we had a big market meltdown. That will cool your portfolio off, because your risk assets, your stocks, have gone down so much that your risk inside your portfolio has dropped. And then what happened afterwards, we know the big recovery, the all-time best recovery from those lows that we've ever seen in stock market history, has heated things back up again. So one would say around September 2nd this year, when we touched all-time highs again, that's after COVID all-time highs.
Right.
That's a really decent times like that to be evaluating your portfolio. Sometimes it's not just a calendar year, like a day on the calendar. Oh, it's September, I need to rebalance my portfolio. Sometimes, maybe more often than that, with the speed of the markets, we need to be looking at how cold is the portfolio? Do we need to heat it up? How warm is the portfolio? Do we need to cool it down?
Right. Well, because that's the one thing you can, you know, take full, you know, control over is how hot. I like that analogy. I like the how hot the portfolio is. It's pretty good. You know, I
everybody needs a thermostat. I think a thermostat applies to pretty much everybody, except, you know, there's people in Antarctica. Maybe
are there people in Antarctica? Or they're just very, scientists.
Very, penguins. Very, very few penguins.
Penguins. The penguins don't need the thermostat, but it's a really good analogy. I've often used. We've talked about the cruise control analogy. How fast are you driving?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You want to make sure that your portfolio is, you know, heated to the proper temperature. It's driving, you know, as fast as you want it to go, because risk in the portfolio is the one thing that we can control. And you want to make sure you're prepared, because it's not necessarily a bad thing, the market going down, right? It feels bad. It doesn't feel good when you look at your statement and it's down. It doesn't feel good when you log on and you're down.
It's emotionally tough, absolutely.
But you just see the money going away, but it may provide better opportunities, maybe some buying opportunities.
Absolutely. And I really think that as you look at the way the markets move like this, and you're really truly paying attention to what looks expensive on a technical basis, those really are the areas that you want to kind of steer away from when you're cooling your portfolio down. And then on the flip side, of course, when the markets do correct, they have historically always dropped at some point from the all-time highs.
Right.
And we always want to feel like we're timing it perfectly. That's a unicorn myth.
Yeah, a fool's game, a fool's errand, right?
I think I had heard that timing the markets, it's more of a probability to get struck by lightning twice than to get out at the all-time high and then get back in at the lows.
Right. Well, or buying a lottery ticket, right? I mean, it's ostensibly the same chances, because you've got to be right those two times, and almost never are you. Even the professionals, right? The people that trade in and out on a day-to-day basis, the people that do it for funds, for these giant institutionally managed funds. You know, you look at like MIT's endowment fund, which is billions of dollars, that, you know, then we're looking at, you know, that doesn't time it exactly perfect every time. So, you know, we got to make sure that our portfolio is properly allocated.
And when we're talking about that timing piece, you know, certainly there are clients out there that expect us to be prognosticators, expect us to be reading the tea leaves and the crystal ball. We use past indicators to tell us when the market seems expensive or seems cheap or what other opportunities are out there. But it's really, really difficult to predict short-term trading patterns.
Absolutely.
It's incredibly difficult. And there aren't too many people out there that have done it on a reliable basis for a long period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really hard to find those levels, because how are you going to really make it the right decision? And how do you make it the right decision without being emotional about it, right? Because the best time to buy is when it feels the worst, and the best time to sell is when you feel the best, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That sort of cycle of euphoria to terror to, you know, giving up, all those things.
Yeah, you see, well, it's that recency bias, which is that looking at how things have done very recently. We can look at Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, those big names this year have had just wild gains. It's like, hey, I want to buy that now so I can have that kind of gain. Well, what if that doesn't necessarily turn out to be the best time to get in? Maybe we want to wait for some type of pullback. Then again, the flip side of the coin, because there is no perfect answer to that question, what if you just wait and it keeps on going up?
Yeah,
that's the fear of missing out. Or if you see FOMO, fear of missing out, in articles, that's what they're referring to, that you are just afraid to be missing out on all the gains. So you just get in there and put your money to work right then and there.
Right, right. That makes complete sense. Yeah, it behooves you to take a good look at your portfolio to make sure that you're set up properly to weather whatever comes in the, you know, in the coming months. Because the one thing that we joke about, you know, the market goes up, it goes down, and it goes sideways, right? Those are the things that we can guarantee. And at some point, the market will go down, right? That's the one thing we can tell clients, unless you're invested in cash or in a CD or, you know, some sort of insurance contract. you will go down. Your money will lose money at some point between some now point. And the end of time, right? So it's how much money can you lose and how much, you know, can you stomach losing, right? That's the risk of that portfolio.
Right, and past performance doesn't indicate future performance, but every time the market has gotten to an all-time high and fallen, historically speaking, it has always gotten back to the all-time high and continued higher.
Right, right.
Every time.
Yeah.
So
when does it do it?
When does it do it? Yeah, right. So the Great Recession we talked about, that one has been certainly studied, and it was a brutal fight. It was a brutal drop, and it took a long time to get out of the hole. It was a long time to get to the bottom from the prior top. It was a year and a half ride downward and like a 3 year plus recovery back up from the bottom. That's a 4.5 year gap just to make no money.
Right.
And you had to ride that thing the whole time if you were in the U.S. stock market. So certainly it was the right idea to stay in the game because it just kept on going. You know, from those highs in 2007, we're still more than double.
Yeah, even with coming back down, right? So the thing that we keep coming back to is making sure that you have a plan, making sure that you have a strategy, you implemented that strategy, and you can stick with it through the highs and the lows. Doesn't mean you just set and forget said strategy, but you want to make sure that that plan is ready to combat those risks. So we kind of talked a little bit about the risk in the portfolio in terms of the valuation, your allocation risk, how risky are you? But there are a bunch of other risks in retirement and in planning for retirement, which we talk about on a daily basis. And I'd like to spend the rest of our time talking about those risks today and how we can mitigate those, the different things that people don't think about when you're talking about the retirement portfolio. The big one, and that's why we start there, is your portfolio risk or your asset allocation risk, right? Because people are really concerned about that, especially with the fluctuations that have been happening, with all the news that's going on, with what's happening. We've got, the election next week. We've got
election. What?
Yeah, there's an election. In case you're wondering, there's a presidential election coming up this next week.
I will say on that note, we're financial advisors. We have hundreds of clients, and it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. Everyone is talking about it.
Right. So it's on everybody's mind.
Everyone's
right?
mind.
And that tends to drive those news-driven movements in the market and news-driven movements in stocks. So the key is to go back to your plan and to your strategy and make sure that we are looking at those different retirement risks. So we're going to take a break here, and then we will be back to cover the retirement risks that we see. So tune in for Investing Simplified, the Retirement Risk Show. And we'll be talking about those retirement risks we see that are a risk to you living a long and fruitful retirement, and making sure that we can take care of those and different strategies that we use.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, thanks for tuning in. We've been talking so far about retirement risks to your retirement portfolio and living a long and healthy retirement. And we started, where everybody likes to start and where everybody kind of goes to because of the volatility we've had in the market so far, Matt. We started with the risk to, your asset allocation, the performance risk, the stock risk or stock market risk that you have just baked into any portfolio that has stocks in there. But there's a ton of other risks that can come up, right?
Absolutely. I think, there's several big ones out there. One of the ones that I think I see a little bit of concern, just from my point of view. I see clients experiencing it with their parents, but not necessarily taking it seriously enough for themselves, is longevity risk.
So longevity risk, you mean like living too long, right? So the idea we're just living longer and longer, and so now we have to make sure that we can make it through that time. It used to be just fine because you had pensions, right? You had your Social Security pension, you know, that's a new guaranteed annuity from Social Security, and you had a pension, you know, that your company bought for you, your union had for you, and here's going to last the rest of your life, and you're good.
Right, but nowadays, pensions are few and far between, and even as 401ks replace that, companies really haven't been kicking in a ton of money for most participants. They may give you 4 or 6% match on your dollars, but that's not nearly enough unless you really put your own money to work in your retirement plan to really create an adequate income stream once you stop working. So I just see time and time again, just clients really not believing that they're going to make it to the even the average age, their life expectancy. So, Bo, correct me if I'm wrong here, but insurance companies say it's about, what, 84 for a male?
I believe so. I believe it's, yeah, it's around, I think it's 83 or 84
83 and then 86-ish for a female.
But that's median, right?
Median, right?
You know, that means that you're half of the people are living longer than that.
Right, right. And then you have to look at the studies that say if you are a male and female, or just two people married at age 65, that your chances of making it to age 90, or one of you making it to age 90, are pretty darn high.
Right. So we got a plan. So a lot of times we used to have a plan for, and people will say, you know, I'm going to, you know, plan for 85. It's going to last me that long. Or, you know, when they're looking at, in, you know, turning that money into a stream of income, like you said, hey, I have income coming in, you know, while I'm working, that's my paycheck, right? Every month I get, or twice a month or every week, depending on, you know, how you're set up. I've got income coming in. And then when I go to retire, yeah, I got Social Security that's going to go. And we got a massive cost of living increase they just came out with. Woo, 1.5%. The lowest it's been, you know, since I think 2010. But so it gets, you know, we've got a stream of income from Social Security, but that doesn't replace what you've been making. And you don't have a pension. You've saved up some money in the 401k. But if you're allocating that and planning on only taking income from your 401k or your 403b or your IRA to age 75 or age 80, you may need to rethink that, right? And, you know, we do planning a lot longer than that.
Absolutely. I don't really know of any plan that I've ever built that didn't go to at least 90, because I don't want to be the financial advisor that says, hey, we, following your suggestions, we plan to age 85. Here, happy 85th birthday. We're done. We don't have anything else planned after that. It's like, that would be a bad plan.
Right. And if you're living a long time, you're going to realize, okay, we're spending this money that we know was sustainable through age 80, but now you're hitting age 85. Or even if we send it to age 90, what if, you know, my great grandmother lived to be 107?
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's just crazy.
Bo, I think you need to save more.
Right. Well, that's just
by the
her.
Way, I've been meaning to talk about
I've
that.
I've been meaning to talk to me about that. I've got to review my financial plan, right? No. But so you people are living a long, you know, longer and longer with advances in medical technology, you know, COVID notwithstanding, right? Folks are living longer and longer in retirement. And so rather than planning for a 15-year deal, if you retired at 60 or 65, then you may have to really think about that being a 30-year retirement. So is your plan set up to handle that longevity risk, right? So that longevity risk would be the risk of living too long, right? Kind of alternative to the risk of living too short.
Right. So in that longevity risk, it really pushes the mind to think about what a quality of life will be in the later stages of retirement. And, you know, I call it the anti-lottery, but you never know if there's going to be some type of condition that exists that really is an expensive problem to solve, whether it be in-home care or hospice or assisted living, memory care, these types of situations. You know, those can, that's affected my family. I think I might have talked about that on the show before, but my grandmother had an issue that was a $9,000 a month bill. My wife's grandmother had a $11,000 a month bill. And, you know, my own grandmother, she went into a home. It was someplace that was really nice. It's about $9,000 a month. She was there for about 4 years. We watched her nearly $400,000 portfolio drop to zero. And then the family had to kick in another $75,000 out of our pocket just because she was really happy there.
Yeah. So that's a real danger. So that's, but that we'd maybe categorize that in a different category of risk, right? It goes along with the longevity, but maybe we call that healthcare risk.
Healthcare risk.
And you know, they say that the longer you live, that just the higher your chances of having some sort of a long-term care event, right?
It's hard to say when longevity risk stops and you know healthcare risk starts. I mean, it could really. Happen at any moment. Really.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I don't mean to say that. Yeah, healthcare risk is just a longevity risk. It just increases, right, as we get older.
Sure. So speaking of the healthcare risk, what are some of the other things that you see when you're doing a financial plan for some clients?
So that healthcare risk is a big part of it, right? When you're talking about long-term care events, and the risk that I see is that you're not covered for it, right? And so the thing that I tell clients, and I just had a conversation this week about it. With a gentleman who came in to, you know, take a look at his retirement plan. And one of the things we talked about was the differences in long-term care insurance and ways to cover that long-term care or that healthcare risk, right? So if you're talking about healthcare risk from a long-term care aspect, and that's notwithstanding the healthcare risk of just having a health event like a heart attack or, you know, having to pay for Medicare premiums, which seem to be going up every year. But from a long-term care perspective, you know, my view on that and, you know, my philosophy on that is you need to have a plan for long-term care, right? Because it's going to affect, statistically going to affect 2 out of every 3 of us, right? And if you live long enough, those stats go up much higher. So you need to have a plan for that long-term care event, for that healthcare event, and whether that be a plan of we're going to spend down our assets, whether that be a plan of we're going to, you know, live with family, make sure the family's on board with that. Whether that's going to be
check on that.
Whether that's going to be, you know, moving to a facility, they are
use equity in their house.
Use equity in their house. Yeah, a lot of people will use that home equity conversion mortgage or use the equity in their house, downsize. Those are a lot of different options, and there's not necessarily a wrong option out there. The one I don't like is traditional long-term care insurance. Not to cast aspersions on insurance companies or insurance agents, but what I don't like about those traditional long-term care policies is it's not a guaranteed premium, which they seem to go up every year astronomically. If you don't need it, because you know, you hear me say 2 out of every 3 of us is going to need the care. What if I'm the one? So if I don't need the care, then that money's just, you know, flushed down the toilet.
Use it or lose it.
Yeah,
gone.
Yeah, instead of left
and
to my family.
And that's a lot of money going out the toilet, down the toilet rather.
Well, yeah. Well, if you think about, we just talked about that the risk is there from a portfolio valuation. We talked about using your assets or spending down your assets. You mentioned your grandmother whose $400,000 portfolio was gone in a matter of a couple of years.
Yeah. Nearly $400,000 across about 4 years. Yeah.
Right. That's pretty fast. That's a pretty fast, you know, distribution of that portfolio. You know, you could, that's, so that may scare you out of using your assets, right? You tapping the equity in your home, kind of a similar deal, right? Because you're only, there's a finite amount of money. And then the scare for me from traditional long-term care insurance, that's the stuff that people have been sold over time, is it, you know, it's cheaper now. It goes up every year. If you don't use it, then if we're talking, you know, a couple $1,000s a year for 30 years, let's, you know, that's $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 gone.
And I have clients, the female is 90, the male is 95. Their combined long-term care bill every 6 months is $12,000 long-term care premium. Use it or lose it. Now think about how much money they've sunk into that thing since they bought it decades ago. That's a big bill for them.
Yeah.
And also it's a big potential risk.
If they let it go.
If they just let it go, that's a lot of money. Down the drain.
Yeah. And there are, so.
And they're right on the cusp of, you know, 90, 95. I mean.
A passing away.
Oh, no. The guy, 95 years old, he walks 60 miles a week.
Goodness.
60 miles away. I'm like, gosh, I'm lucky if I get in 3, unless I go golfing and I walk.
Right. No, yeah. But so they got to keep going. So that to me seems more like longevity, right? They're going to have to keep paying that premium.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that money's already sunk in there.
Exactly. It's a really, really tough call. And there's. It's not to say that that we think he shouldn't pay it and just should save his money instead from here. But right. I mean, we find that there's a better way to cover that long-term bill with a different strategy, with a different plan.
Yeah, and if you want to have that look at it, that, you know, their insurance companies have, you know, have really changed how they're doing it. And there's a thing called riders, generally speaking, are a bad word in our world, right? Riders usually with health insurance means, you know, something's not covered, right? You've got a rider, so to say that your elbow that was a disability, you know, from before is not covered by your health insurance. But in a life insurance contract, there are contracts out there where the life insurance company will give you access to 75 to 80% of the death benefit for long-term care. So in this situation with your, when we're talking about, you know, those clients, if they had that type of policy rather than a traditional care policy, we're going to say, yeah, absolutely keep paying it, because if you don't use it, that's going tax-free to your kids or to your heirs or to whoever you're leaving the money to. But if you do need the care, you still have it there, right? It's a combination of a best of both worlds scenario, and that's something a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah, and then it's prudent to do for yourself as a protection measure, but typically you don't want to wait until you're 65 or 70 to go that route, because your cost of insurance is going to be really expensive. And then here's the rub that I find, and this kind of what I was speaking to earlier, is that typically I'd like to have that conversation with somebody who's 45 to 55.
Right, which seems crazy, right? That, hey, wait, I'm 45, I'm 55, I'm young, I'm super healthy. What do I need to talk about long-term care?
Long-term care? I can't think about, like, living in an old folks' home and then, you know, especially now, oh my goodness. Like, could you imagine life in a retirement facility where you can't even have visitors? Like, oh, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
So, yeah, in that situation.
Scary topic. And certainly that sense of fear, that the just unwillingness to have that conversation prevents a lot of people from making a decision for themselves that could be 40, 50 years down the road in some instances.
Right. And so that's the beauty of these type of policies, using something that is not a use it or lose it, that you're not sinking money down the drain every year and that the premiums are going up, right?
Yep.
So we just talked about the negatives on that other policy. On the hybrid, they're called hybrid policies, but the positives are, hey, we've got a guaranteed level premium. This is what it's going to cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got a guarantee that the worst thing that's going to happen is you're not going to use it, right? You're not going to need it. So then you're going to have an insurance benefit, a tax-free benefit that goes to your heirs, gets taken care of, right? Or you do need it. And I don't know, I shouldn't say which is worse. They're both bad.
They're both bad.
Right? But, you know, if you do need it and do go on claim, then you can access that death benefit. And if you don't use it all up, because that's the other thing, Matt, you mentioned that your grandmother was in the care facility for a few years. A lot of times people aren't there for multiple years. And if I've sunk, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars into this policy and I only get $10,000 out of it because I pass away, then the insurance company, again, is laughing all the way to the bank. So we want to make sure we're not taking bets against insurance companies that employ people way smarter than us to figure out the probability. I'm okay saying that. Figure out the probability that we're going to make it through it. So if you have a long-term care policy and you haven't reviewed it, if you have been wondering about how to take care of that longevity risk, that long-term care risk, the healthcare risk in your retirement, and particularly if you're, you know, approaching retirement, but not just approaching retirement, like Matt said, if you just haven't taken a look at that, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. We can help walk you through the steps, take a look at what you're doing, tell you the way that we would attack it, tell you the policies and the types of things that we help our clients with. And if it makes sense to you, we'd be happy to get you going with it. But the worst case is you get that information out there. You can also shoot an email to askbo@pfgwm.com. So we're going to take a quick break here and come back with some other retirement risks that we combat in our planning every day. If you have a question that we haven't covered and would like to have covered on a future show, please send it to askbo@pfgwm.com or leave it on investingsimplifiedradio.com. We'll be right back.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you are reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
And welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us today as we maneuver through. Well, you know, it's funny, Matt, we've been putting, you know, posting the episodes as podcast, you know, up on the net, and I think we've called every one of them COVID show number, and I think we're at like COVID show number like 20. You know, like it's been weeks and weeks of this whole COVID setup here, right?
It is. It has been something else. That's for sure.
We're living through history, right? History being made right now. So we are having historical times. I'm not sure if that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Unprecedented. How many times? It's unprecedented should be a drinking game. Like every time you hear the word unprecedented in 2020, for the rest of the year, you just have to stop what you're doing.
Yeah, grab a beer.
Grab a beer.
Yeah, I'm gonna come out here and be the voice of reason. Don't do that because you're gonna not that. Be able to get anything done.
That's a bad strategy.
Unprecedented comes out too many times. Well, you know, speaking of things that are unprecedented, right? The Fed this last year has told us they're going to keep interest rates low because they're trying to boost up inflation, right? They're trying to get inflation to a target that they have for, you know, inflation. And that's a big risk that we see in retirement, right? Inflation risk. Can you break down inflation for folks who may not know what the concept of inflation is?
On very simple terms, inflation for me means my client is calling me up to ask for a little bit more money each month because the cable bill is higher, the food bills are higher, the Medicaid or whatever costs of living just keep on going higher.
Right. So
that's a real thing.
Yeah, things cost more. I mean, you know, folks that are listening, may or may not have applied specifically to them depending on how long that they've been, you know, spending money, you know, independently. But I use the analogy that my grandfather paid more for his last car than he did for his first house. And I think a lot of listeners can think about that. You think about the last car that you bought. And even if you're buying, you know, a Toyota Corolla, right? You know, you're buying a car that's $25,000-$30,000. And then you think about, okay, when people bought houses in the late, you know, the mid 80s, early 90s, you were spending $40,000 or $50,000 on a house that if you turned around and sold it now, you may live over, you know, Northeast Portland, you know, nice part of town, the Hollywood district, you're a nice part of town. The house may have cost you 50, 60 grand in 1991. 30 years later now, you could sell it for 700,000 and probably get it sold yesterday, right? Because of the way the market is. So just historically speaking, stuff costs more. I mean, you remember when gas costs under $1. You know, and that
I do.
And gas doesn't, you know, move exactly with inflation because that's a commodity, but you can't get a candy bar for less than $2 anymore, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, there's different ways to track inflation, but normally the main way is CPI.
Right, the consumer price index. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. So that does not usually contain food or fuel.
Interesting. Okay. That makes sense because those are, you know, sort of commoditized. There's sort of a market for them, right?
Right.
It doesn't necessarily move just with things costing more. But, you know, the reason we bring up inflation as a major risk is when you're planning retirement, generally speaking, you'll hear people use terminology of I need to, you know, have 75 or 80% of my income that I have now in retirement in order to live. Or if you're really good and have a budget and you know a budget about how much your monthly expenses are, your mortgage, your generally speaking, your food and your cable and your, you know,
healthcare bills.
Yeah. We just talked about that in the last time.
More premiums. Right? I mean, from when you first retire, it really is the premiums. That's the target that I see people missing on the most.
Yeah. So healthcare premiums, but even if you're on Medicare, you're at Medicare age, those go up every year, right? But you think about today's dollars, we talked earlier about longevity and living 30 years and having a 30-year retirement. The money, a dollar just isn't going to go as far 30 years from now as it does now.
Correct. And, you know, when we're looking at inflation, the historical number is close to 3% on average. Earlier this year, I think it was about maybe a month ago, I saw the CPI was at 1.05%.
That's pretty low for right now.
Pretty low. And that usually, you know, when we're looking at inflation, we want to try and beat inflation, because if your money isn't earning 1.05% or so right now, a year from now, you'll have actually lost ground. You might be in cash, and today's low rates are just awful. I see 0.1% in money market all the time. And
advertising the best online savings at 0.6%.
Yeah. 1 year CD, 0.15%. Goodness. Like, seriously, that is just crazy low. And it's like, okay, that's super safe. And you know, your 0.15% is, you know, about 0.9% behind the rate of inflation. So you've safely lost 0.9% of value on your money across that 1 year.
Right.
So that's your, you have a, what's called a negative real return. Your 1 year out dollar amount, it just isn't going to buy you as much stuff. So we really need to focus on, you know, how you're allocated. It ties into that allocation to make sure that we're at least, we have some way to fight inflation and create a rising income stream.
Right.
That's important.
Right. You're going to need, because you need your income to, you know, stay steady, but grow, you know, ideally we can grow that income or the amount of money that you're taking out over time. Right. And we need the plan to sustain that. And when we build out our financial plans for folks, we always include inflation in there so that you can see that, hey, this dollar amount grows over time. But at the same time, in order to combat that, you can't just be in, you know, cash. Like you said, you can't have the money under a mattress or locked away in a safe and hope that that's going to help you combat stuff costing more over time.
Right. We do say, you know, you should have 9 months to 12 months of emergency money, and that's fine. I would urge folks to think about those higher interest savings accounts out there, and maybe stepping out from just money market to look at some sort of, you know, once you have the first 6 months covered, don't play around with that. But after that, maybe step out a step or two in risk to try and get a little bit more interest, just because interest rates are so low, virtually zero, and inflation is already above 1%. I think lately is about 1.3-ish. So if we're not getting 1.3 or thereabouts right now, then we're losing ground. And year after year, if you keep doing that, that's going to spell real, real difficulty for your portfolio and your income. That's what your portfolio is there for, is to replace your working income. A lot of people don't know this, but Social Security was only meant to replace 40% of your income.
Interesting. Well, and it was only meant for you to, you know, full retirement age is based off of what we talked about, longevity before, mm-hmm. right? We're coming out with lots of info that you can use at cocktail parties, so you can thank us later.
Think
Investing Simplified. But when FDR created the, you know, or his administration, I shouldn't give all the credit to FDR, but when the administration created the Social Security concept, the idea was that your full retirement age was life expectancy, right? I mean, that's, you weren't supposed to be living 30, 40 years into retirement. So it's not built for that part. You got to build that out otherwise, right? So you got to be Correct. Able to combat inflation. And that key comes from having a proper asset allocation, working, I think, for, you know, selfishly, working with an advisor, an advisory team to make sure that you have that properly set up, right? But the danger that can come from that, right, when I hear we need to have the asset allocation, and when I hear the rising income and when we take income out of it, is a concept called sequence of returns, right? So that's a risk, a big risk we see in retirement, the sequence of returns risk. And that sounds like a lot of words, but it's really simple to think about. It just has to do with when you start retirement, right? You got to be prepared for when you start retirement, right?
Absolutely. And more so for the sequence of events, the sequence of that is what happens the day you decide not to go to work. What happens from that point forward with the markets? Is it a summer of 2007 where everything looks gravy, and then October hits and then it's the worst recession that we've seen in 60 years? That's a bad sequence. That's a negative sequence. It's really, really tough to retire, because normally at age 58 or 65, somewhere in that window, that's when most people decide to retire. A little bit earlier, sometimes later. A lot of people are working past 65 just because they want to, which is nice to see that people a couple of decades older than me still enjoy what they do in life. That's right. That's encouraging. But, you know, it's going back to that time of the markets. If you chose to retire at the peak of the markets in 2007, thinking everything was good, and then the market craters, that really had a negative impact on your portfolio, because it's when you first retire, you're usually carrying a significant amount of risk, because retirement is still 20, 25 years long
right.
on average.
Right, 25
or
30,
more.
Yeah. Or more. And if you're pulling, you know, we'll use a number that people hear a lot, 4%, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're pulling 4% from your portfolio, and your portfolio, let's say you had a good, you did a good job of rebalancing and you weren't just 100%, you know, S&P
500. Good 60-40 portfolio.
Yeah, so you're down, you know, your portfolio is down, in just again for easy math. Let's say your portfolio is down 36%, right? Just on that, when, you know,
very realistic number in
2008,
from, between the peak of 2007 and the bottom of 2009, you know, that year and a half gap, being down 36, 37%, that's at a 60-40 retirement age portfolio. That's normal,
right? You very well could have been. So if you're pulling 4% from now, you're down 40 instead of 36, and it's going to take you not 40. We talked about this before. But in order for that money to grow back, it's not a 40% return on the backside, right?
It's almost 66, 67% to return to break even from a minus 40%.
Right. It's just crazy how much you have to, you know, just the math. So you have to get a 66% return, which you're not going to get with that asset allocation. And we don't want to get too much riskier. So it's important as you approach, you know, I've heard it called the retirement red zone. I like that term. But as you approach, because I like football.
I like red zones.
Yeah, I like football. So as you
got to be efficient in the red zone.
Yeah, that's a good, the analogy keeps going, right? But as you approach that retirement timeline, whether that's 58, 59, 60 years old, as you're, you know, getting just 5 or 6 years away from when you're going to make that retirement switch, you need to make sure that your portfolio and your income plan, your retirement setup, your entire holistic portfolio is prepared for this, for a poor sequence of returns. When you see these scenarios and simulations run, and a lot of advisors say, well, it's going to be great, it's going to be perfect, they're not necessarily running. They're doing what's called a straight line projection. And a lot of that, you know, projection retirement plan portfolio simulation does that. Fidelity's, their little green line does that, where it says, you know, hey, I'm going to get 5% average returns. So that means it's
year in, year out.
Your portfolio is getting 5% year in, year out. So of course it's going to look gravy because you're only pulling 4% out. So you're constantly growing that portfolio, right? But if that 5% average return, right, starts with a negative 10 or 15 or 20 in the first year, right, then you're really behind the eight ball. And your 5% average is not going to get you back into line. So you want to make sure that you are prepared, that you have that discussion with your advisor, right?
Absolutely. And that with that negative sequence, a lot of people call it the bucket strategy, where you have a two-year bucket of very conservative investments that you can weather usually the average length storm, two-ish years, three-ish years. That's why they call it the Great Recession, because it lasted so long, not just because of the depth that it dropped, but also how long it took to get out of it. But normally a two-year, maybe a three-year bucket of money to buy you some time to live off of that money.
Right.
And then you have a five-year bucket that, you know, of course, you've lived 2 or 3 years out, now becomes your 2 to 3 year bucket. And then you also have a 10-year bucket that, you know, once you've reached the five-year point, it, you know, that five-year, the 10-year bucket becomes a five-year bucket. So
start to refill. It's a recycling deal. Yeah, you can, the bucket is a good analogy, good way to term it. You call it recycling, you know, you could profits recycling, you could call it, you know, income recycling, to make sure you're getting all of it out. We have a, you know, we talk about the investing simplified strategy and having a bucket, for lack of a better term, to steal your analogy, but having a portion of your money that is not exposed to market risk. So when the market's down, you can pull from that bucket, and then you can continue to let the growth side continue to grow. There's no wrong way to do it necessarily. It's about having a plan to combat that sequence of returns, right?
I'm a math guy, I'm a numbers guy, and that strategy is really beautiful to me from a numbers perspective and a mathematical perspective to really fight off those downturns. Because if we look at it, we typically, you know, would when we're crafting a portfolio for a newly retired person or in the planning stages of retirement here pretty soon, we would generally think about something like protecting 40% of their portfolio and then having 60% on the risk side, thereabouts,
yeah, you
know, depending on their,
on
their comfortability.
Yeah. Right.
So call that the median case, the average case. 40% protected assets that would not go down in a market downturn, and then 60% that might fluctuate in those downturns. If we're looking at a 4% withdrawal strategy, That's the safe number ish. You know, there's arguments to be made whether a 4% withdrawal, taking 4% out of your portfolio every year, is sustainable.
Right.
A lot would agree that it's feasible. But if we have 40% of our money in the protected bucket and we can take 10% out of that after the first year, that equals 4%. So theoretically, we should always have our 4% withdrawal in that scenario. But it gives us a choice. If the market is down, we can take it from that bucket that is not down in value. And if the market is up, we can just take it from the gains that we've experienced on the risk side.
Right.
And let things balanced.
Let them both keep growing and not, you know, have to take it from, we can take it from selling high and buying low, right? Rather than the opposite.
Yep.
And that's not a timing thing, folks. When he says when the market's up, it's looking at, hey, where are we at from a holistic view? Because the biggest thing is to make sure it's a sustainable retirement plan, right? To combat those risks that we've been talking about, the sequence of returns risk, to make sure we can not be pulling money in a down market in your first couple of years of retirement. So, Matt, you know, we talked about the retirement red zone, talked about being able to get to, you know, retirement with a plan. But sometimes, you know, the big risk that I, you know, we've come across a lot lately, and one that, you know, I want to finish out talking about, you know, risks. And by no means is this an exhaustive, all-in list of
comprehensive risks
that are out there, right? But one of the things that, you know, that you worry about from, you know, the risk perspective is we call it a forced retirement risk, right? And so you can be forced to, when I say forced retirement, That could mean, you know, a medical issue has forced you in retirement. You have to retire to take care of a family member. You have a spouse that gets sick or passes away. The other one is what's happened lately in a COVID world. But maybe, you know, we just talked about 2007, 2008, is even forced retirement from layoffs, right? So from you lose your position or lose your job. We have big companies around here that have had some big layoffs. You know, Boeing, Intel, and Nike have all had large layoffs here recently. And so sometimes that's a forced retirement, you know, is a risk to your portfolio. And so if you're, you know, in your mid 40s, if you're in your mid 50s, you know, you're thinking, hey, I'm going to work till I'm 65, or, you know, I'm going to keep working. I know lots of people that want to keep plugging away because they like what they do. But sometimes that choice is taken away from you. So you want to make sure that your plan is set up. If you have this forced retirement, at some point you are forced out of work, you want to make sure that you have built that sort of in there.
Right. And your plan, it's not necessarily to pick your retirement date, but it's the option to retire at a specific time if you wanted to. But if you didn't want to, we want to look at that as well, that forced retirement scenario. It's really, really tough. You know, I've had clients that have come to me in their early 60s that just got laid off, and you know, it's a tough job market, and they've been looking for a long while, and they have to tap into retirement assets earlier than planned.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily when you're getting into your mid 50s that you want to look at this. You want to have a plan in place prior to that.
Right. Well, because you like you said, it's not an ageism thing necessarily, but a lot of times professionals maybe are too experienced, right? You said it's a tough job market. If you have a niche, you know, area that you work in, you're super skilled in a certain area and you have those type of skills, but the jobs they're hiring are way below your pay grade. You know, it's really hard to go in to get those jobs and go compete for those jobs because you're overqualified, right? And and so there's a lot of things that can come up, whether it's layoffs from a macro perspective or a micro perspective or different things like that. So you want to make sure that you've built in there some strategies. And I was just talking about this, you know, with a client this week, because when you have strategies that we've employed, like the 72T strategy, or strategies like leaving money in a 401k to take a distribution at 55, you know, leaving it in the 403B or the 401k, having those options out there, and you just don't know what you don't know, right? If you haven't come across them, that's something that we deal with on a daily basis.
And we were talking in totality, saying right, you can't work anymore. But what if, you know, you're used to making $100,000 a year and you get laid off, but the best job that you can find is now $70,000, but right, you've got a quality of life that says I need to earn $100,000. How do we compensate for that $30,000 gross deficit?
How do we bridge that gap, right? And there's a lot of different strategies to make that happen. And, you know, not all of them involve utilizing the market. Not all of them involve utilizing, you know, strategies that are only, you know, prevalent in our business, but there are things that you may not know are out there. If, you know, if that applies, you know, something that you've been worrying about, if you maybe, you know, heaven forbid, or someone that has recently been laid off from one of those companies and want to explore that, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. We're happy to sit down with you, kind of go over those options, tell you what we see, what we've done, how we've helped people. And if it makes sense for you, we're happy to work through it with you.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so many risks that are out there when you talk about these different, you know, longevity risk, sequence of returns risk, the inflation risk, healthcare, you know, that's a big one people really worry about, this forced retirement we were just talking about. You know, part of the thing, you know, asset allocation is a big thing. That's a big thing that we review for people all the time. And I hate to, you know, as we get, you know, towards the, you know, as we get towards the end of the show today, I don't want to be just, you know, sales people. Call now. Next 10 people get free, you know, get a free book, you know.
Call now, get a free mug. We don't have mugs. We do have mugs.
We have some mugs, but I don't think it's,
you know, probably need to reorder some. Probably.
Well, then we can come on here and say the next 10 callers to this number get
ugh.
Get
I don't want to be that kind of radio show.
No, but we want to make sure that we are letting people know we're here to help, right? So if there's a risk that you've, you know, discover something, you want to make sure you combat that. The worst thing that you can have is, you know, this plan to be work optional, which is what I usually say about a plan. It's not a retirement plan, it's work optional. But if you haven't reviewed it and you haven't really done it, you know, I've talked to people all the time that they stay up nights, you know, thinking about these different items, right? Because there's a ton of different things that we didn't cover that don't have like a flashy name. But, you know, if you do have a pension, let's say you have a union pension or a pension from work, and they only offer you know, single life payouts. What happens if you pass away early? Does your spouse get to have a, you know, continuation, right? How do you cover that?
How do you choose between the myriad of payout options? Does the spouse get 50% of your benefit, 75%, 100%, or anywhere in between, 0%? I mean, these are, you know, usually decisions that you have to make right then and there when you exercise the option.
And it's, you can't go back.
Irrevocable. Can't change it.
Well, talk about, you know, we're talking about a pension or talking about an, you know, an annuity option, that Social Security.
Yep.
That's the big one that we all have and we're all putting in. You get, and people, you may or may not know this, you do have a mulligan, to use a golfing term because we're golfers, right? You do have a one-time mulligan in that first year when you elect Social Security, when you make the decision. But you know what the big caveat is, Matt? I think we've talked about this before. You know what happens when you do that mulligan? What do you got to do?
Pay some back, right?
You got to pay all of it back.
Oh.
So if you've been, So if you've taken 6 months of Social Security payments, you decide to call and use your one-time mulligan, you got to give all that money back.
Mm-mm-mm.
Right. So these are big decisions that people have to make, that you want to make sure you are, you know, making the right one for you. And the only way to do that is to look at your situation in totality, that holistic view, right? You got to know all the different moving pieces, the different risks that are out there to upend your, you know, work optional plan. Like we should trademark that if it hasn't been work optional planning, you know,
the WOP.
Yeah. But so we want to make sure you have covered all those different risks, all those different things that may come up for you, and just have the peace of mind.
It's worth its weight. Certainly. I mean, to have it on a piece of paper to where you can reference it, what it really does is gives you the ability in a short amount of time to refresh your plan each year and say, okay, here's my 10 or so bullet points of my plan. Let's just check on these things yearly.
Yeah,
did my beneficiaries change? Did my income needs change? Yeah. Did my health status change? Did my marital status change? Et cetera, et cetera.
Right. All those things come up. You know, life,
hopefully not.
Life, right. Yeah, that's
the, be kind to each other.
Yeah, we definitely want to make sure that we're, you know, helping to plan for those, and we're not rooting for any of those, certainly. So if you'd like to have that no obligation consultation with our team, if you want to sit down, all it costs you is an hour or so of your time. We come down, you have a conversation, answer all the questions that you might have. There's no obligation to do any business with us. We want to make sure that we're getting that information out there, providing a service, making sure that you know that you have that work optional plan set up. If that's something that interests you, give us a call, 503-253-3000. Thank you so much for listening today. Thanks, Matt. It's been fun as always. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
We're here to help, so call us if you need us.
Take care. Like Matt said, be kind to each other out there. God bless y'all.
We do Investing Simplified. Price Financial Group, wealth management. Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified at pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.